श्री श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकं वंदेहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्ण पादांग सहगण ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च नमो ओम विष्णु पादाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण. So the topic for today is Vaishnava qualities, the jewel of a devotee. A very important topic because Krishna consciousness or being a Vaishnava is not simply a matter of learning some theory or developing some intellectual understanding of a certain type of philosophy. While certainly there is need for us to exercise our intellect to understand the philosophy as much as we can, but ultimately this has to be translated into experience and realizations and development of the proper attitudes, behaviors, qualities, and so on. So there is a difference between jnan and vijnan. Jnan means knowledge, but we could speak of it in terms of, let's say, a theoretical understanding. But the vijnana is actually the realized or the experienced knowledge. So when one assimilates the knowledge that we have learnt, assimilates that into one's system, and that manifests in one's behavior and one's attitudes, then one can say that one has actually become a Vaishnava. Becoming a Vaishnava actually is a very, very exalted thing. We generally talk of being a Vaishnava in a casual way. Of course, that is also true. Anyone who chants Krishna's names is also Vaishnava, but there is degrees and stages of being a Vaishnava. One time some devotees from Bengal had come to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they would stay for the Chaturmasi period, the 4 months. And this particular group led by Satyaraj Khan, as they were about to leave, they asked Mahaprabhu for instructions. And among other instructions, Mahaprabhu also asked them to serve devotees, Vaishnavas. So they asked, and who is a Vaishnava? An important question, because if we ask to serve Vaishnavas, we must know who a Vaishnava is. So Mahaprabhu replied that anyone who chants Krishna's name once is a Vaishnava. The same group of devotees came again the next year. They stayed for the 4 months, and when it was time for them to leave, they once again asked Mahaprabhu for instructions. Mahaprabhu gave them some instructions, and among them was the earlier instruction that they should serve Vaishnavas. Once again, Satyaraj Khan asked the same question, who is a Vaishnava? And Mahaprabhu replied, one who always chants the name of Krishna is a Vaishnava. The next year, the same story repeated. And as they were leaving, the devotees again asked Mahaprabhu, when he told them to serve Vaishnavas, he said, who is a Vaishnava? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied that one by seeing whom, simply by seeing whom one chants Krishna's names, is a Vaishnava. So Mahaprabhu gave different definitions of who a Vaishnava is in each of the 3 years. And if one analyzes it, one will see that in the first year he was speaking about a neophyte devotee. In the next year he was speaking about a devotee in the medium stage. And in the third year he was speaking about a devotee who was the most exalted. So we can understand that truly speaking, a Vaishnava is one who is a pure devotee. So for those who are not yet pure devotees, we can call ourselves as practicing devotees. We are training in probation, so to speak. We are getting trained to become pure devotees. Because a pure devotee or a Vaishnava, a genuine Vaishnava, is one who exhibits certain qualities or certain characteristics by which he or she can be identified as being a Vaishnava. Everything or everyone has its identifying characteristics. Water has its characteristics by which we can understand something to be water or not water. Similarly, any substance, any person, say for example a king, how do you know somebody is a king? Well, he must have a kingdom, he must have subjects, and so on. There are different characteristics. So similarly, for a Vaishnava also, there must be certain characteristics by which one can understand that that person is a Vaishnava. And as I mentioned earlier, since we can talk of Vaishnavas in various levels, therefore these qualities will manifest to different degrees depending on the level of one's Vaishnavism, so to speak. Depending on how Krishna conscious we are, those qualities will manifest. So for somebody who may be in the very, very early stages of Krishna consciousness, maybe the qualities are not so strongly manifest. And for those who may be very, very advanced in Krishna consciousness, maybe those qualities are manifest to a very substantial degree compared to the other devotees. So essentially, these Vaishnava qualities are those by which we can understand that somebody is a Vaishnava. And even amongst pure devotees, there are different characteristics. For example, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after taking sannyas, was traveling to different holy places on pilgrimage, he came to the holy place that is called Pandharpur. And there he met one devotee, Sri Ranga Puri. And they understood by looking at each other's ecstatic symptoms that there was some connection to Madhavendra Puri. So just by the symptoms of devotion they exhibited, they not only understood that the other was a pure devotee, but also a particular kind of pure devotee who was connected to Madhavendra Puri and whose love for Krishna was in the mood of Vrindavan. So we can see that Vaishnavas, pure Vaishnavas, are very, very rare in this world. And for one who actually demonstrates these qualities, it is something very pleasing to Krishna. Krishna is very, very pleased by such things. The etiquette of a devotee, also called maryada, is something that the devotee also follows very much. And that also is part of the qualities of a Vaishnava, that a Vaishnava takes particular care to see that his or her behavior and lifestyle and practices and so on are in tune with what is expected of a Vaishnava. We see a little pastime in the Antya Leela of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Sanatan Goswami comes to visit Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Jagannath Puri. Mahaprabhu is in the garden of Yameshwara, Yameshwar Tota. And he sends for Sanatan Goswami to come and join him for prasadam. It was noon and it was very hot. When Sanatan Goswami got the message, he was overjoyed, and he immediately set out from the place where he was staying to go to Yameshwar Tota. So at that time, he went along the beach. And the sand was extremely hot. It was burning hot because it was noontime. And there were blisters on his feet. But nevertheless, he didn't mind them because he was so eager to go to be with Mahaprabhu that he didn't mind all the inconvenience. Then he reached there, and Mahaprabhu had already taken prasadam, and Govinda, the servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, gave the remnants of Mahaprabhu's prasadam to Sanatana Goswami, who happily partook of them. Then Mahaprabhu inquired from Sanatana Goswami, "By which road have you come?" Then Sanatana Goswami said, "I came by the path that is on the beach." So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Really, that sand is so hot. It must have burnt your finger, the soles of your feet. Why didn't you come by passing by the Jagannath temple? The sand must have blistered your soles and you must be very hurt now." So Sanatana Goswami replied that actually I didn't feel any pain at all in my feet because, you know, I knew that I was coming to see you. And I have no right to pass by the Jagannath temple because the servants of Lord Jagannath are always coming and going. And I feared that if I might bump into them or they might touch me by mistake when they aren't going to the service of a deity, then that would be a disaster for me because I would be responsible for that. You see, the secret, or rather the mystery behind this is that generally people who are not from Hindu backgrounds were not allowed inside the Jagannath temple. That was a practice in those days. And unfortunately, that practice continues even today. So, but anyway, devotees are trying to have that rule changed, but it's taking its time. So Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami, they were born in very aristocratic Saraswat Brahmin families. But because they had associated with Muslims, so they were considered on the same level as Muslims, and therefore they didn't even venture to try to enter into the Jagannath temple. And so humble was Sanatana Goswami, he felt himself so low that he felt that even if he touches the pujaris who go to serve the deity of Jagannath, then they would get contaminated. Undoubtedly, Sanatana Goswami is an eternal associate of the Lord, is a pure devotee, and there's no question of any contamination for him. But because of his humility, he thought like that. Then when Mahaprabhu heard all this, he was very, very happy. And he said, "Actually, Sanatan, you can deliver. You have the power to deliver the whole universe. And what to speak of ordinary people of this earth planet, but even the residents of the higher planets, the demigods and the great sages, even they would be purified by touching you." And then Mahaprabhu said, "Tathati bhakta svabhava maryada rakshana, maryada palana hoy sadhura bhushana." That it is a characteristic of a devotee to observe and protect Vaishnava etiquette, maryada. Maryada means etiquette. Rakshana means to protect. So bhakta svabhava, that means the nature of a devotee, is to protect or follow the etiquette. Maryada palan hoy sadhura bhushana. Palan means to follow. So the following of such Vaishnava etiquette, Mahaprabhu says, is the bhushana or the ornament of a sadhu or a devotee. He says if one transgresses the laws of etiquette, people make fun of him, and that is not good. But you have followed the etiquette so nicely, Sanatan, that I'm completely satisfied to see this. And then Mahaprabhu embraced Sanatana Goswami. So following of the etiquette, following of certain practices, following of a certain lifestyle These are very essential in order to help us develop those Vaishnava qualities naturally. Sanatan Goswami, of course, had these qualities naturally because he was such an exalted devotee. But for us practicing devotees, we have been given the path of sadhana bhakti by Srila Prabhupada, quoting from the Nectar of Devotion, where he mentioned 64 limbs of devotional service in practice. And by doing that, we automatically develop progressively all the Vaishnava qualities. It comes naturally. Why does it come naturally? You see, it is mentioned by Srila Rupa Goswami that Krishna has unlimited qualities, but amongst these unlimited qualities, 50 are prominent, they are primary. And Krishna has these qualities to an unlimited degree in perfection. And of these 64 qualities, the first 50, which are the primary qualities, are also found in jivas, but in very, very minute quantity. And why does this happen? Because the jivas are part and parcel of Krishna. Because the jivas are qualitatively one with Krishna, therefore they have these 50 qualities. But because they are tiny, atomic, in comparison to Krishna, who is infinite, so the jivas may have these 50 qualities in very tiny quantity. And the jivas may not manifest, all the conditioned souls may not manifest all these 50 qualities, even in minute quantity. They may manifest just a few. And some of them, sometimes they may manifest and sometimes they may not manifest. So, however, the original pure soul has these 50 qualities to a minute degree. But when the soul becomes conditioned by contact with material nature, then these original spiritual qualities of the soul get covered. And therefore, these 50 qualities are not visible. But by performing devotional service, gradually one becomes purified. And these qualities then automatically start manifesting themselves. In other words, the Vaishnava qualities that we speak about are actually originally the soul's qualities. Because the soul is part and parcel of Krishna. So becoming a Vaishnava means redeeming one's or coming back to one's original constitutional position. We have all heard that famous verse, Jivera Swarupa Hoy Krishner Nitya Das, that the Jiva is constitutionally the servant of Krishna. So in that constitutional and natural position, the jiva's original qualities, they manifest. So becoming a Vaishnava, becoming a Krishna conscious person basically means just reviving the qualities of the soul. You may all have heard the famous iconic lecture of Srila Prabhupada when he speaks about the Hare Krishna mantra and speaks about how Krishna consciousness is not an artificial imposition of the living entity. Rather, it is the original energy of the living entity. So because Krishna consciousness is something that is intrinsic to the soul, so by practice of sadhana bhakti, that covering of maya is removed and the original quality then manifests. Therefore, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunai Shravanadi Shuddha Chitte Karai Udare. That this Krishna consciousness is originally dormant in the soul and covered presently because of the conditioned nature of the living entity. But when one performs devotional service, then one's original spiritual nature emerges. And at that time, all the good qualities of not only the demigods, but even of Krishna, these 50 qualities, they manifest. There is a famous verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. I'm sure many of you may have heard of it, or some of you may even know it by heart. यस्यास्ति भक्तिर् भगवतीर् किंचन सर्वैर् गुणैस्तत्र समासते सुरः हराव भक्तस्य कुतो महद्गुण मनोरथेन असति धावतोपहि. द मीनिंग ऑफ दिस वर्स इज दैट फॉर वन हु बिकम्स एन अनअलॉयड डिवोटी ऑफ कृष्णा हु सरेंडर्स अटरली टू द लोटस फीट ऑफ कृष्णा. Such a devotee develops all the good qualities of the demigods, and the acharyas explain even of Krishna, that is 50, of course not more than the 50. And the non-devotees, on the other hand, what qualities can they develop? Because they are riding on the chariot of the mind and trying to enjoy the senses, the material senses. So, by performing devotional service and becoming a devotee, all these wonderful Vaishnava qualities, they naturally develop. We have also all heard the story of Megari. He was a very cruel hunter. The word Ari means enemy and Mega means beast. So he was an enemy of the animals because he would go and hunt them in the forest. But he wasn't an ordinary hunter. An ordinary hunter would just kill the animals immediately. But this person, Megari, would kill them only half and leave them in great pain as they would be flapping their hands and legs or wings and so on. And he would derive pleasure in giving them pain like that. And eventually, of course, they would die. So he maintained himself and he earned his livelihood by hunting animals in this very cruel way. One time, however, Narad Muni happened to pass by, and the hunter was furious that Narad Muni had come, and as a result of that, some of the animals, they had been alerted and they fled. And so he was not able to catch them or kill them. Anyway, Narad Muni started preaching to this hunter, and eventually he made him give up his evil ways and told him to just chant the Lord's holy names and sit and chant in front of the Tulsi and give away everything he had. And Narad Muni promised that he would make sure that he and his family was maintained. And indeed, that happened, because all the neighboring people were struck with wonder to see the transformation in Megari. He was such a cruel hunter, and now he became such a saintly person, chanting the holy names all day long. And one day when Narad Muni came by again, along with his friend Angira Muni, he saw that Megari was bending down, and with the cloth he was brushing away the ants that were on the floor, so that when he offered obeisances to Narad Muni, he shouldn't kill the ants which might come under his body as he offered obeisances. So Angira Muni was also struck with wonder, Narad Muni, and they were talking about how wonderful is the transformation that has happened in this person. And Narad Muni told the hunter that, "Oh dear hunter, good qualities like non-violence, which have developed in you, it's not very astonishing to see that, because this is natural for someone who becomes a devotee." So because he became a pure devotee, all these good qualities, they automatically manifested in him. So these are some wonderful thoughts to reflect, that simply by sincerely practicing Krishna consciousness, we will become genuinely very, very well endowed with all the qualities that Krishna considers to be an ornament or a jewel. Krishna is not really so concerned about our material qualifications. We may be physically beautiful, we may be materially very intelligent, we may have all sorts of material skills and abilities and talents, wealth and many other things, but these don't impress Krishna at all. Krishna is impressed only when he sees these qualities in us. So generally people like to decorate themselves, they apply cosmetics, they wear good clothes and ornaments and things like that to appear beautiful. Maybe the people of this world may be impressed, or they may find somebody looking very attractive because of all this. But if you want to attract Krishna's attention, then these material decorations, ornaments and so on will not be of any value. What will attract Krishna really is the development of our Vaishnava qualities. By these qualities, one can actually purchase Krishna. So this is the natural, this happens by the natural development of one's Krishna consciousness. So what are these qualities? In the Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna speaks about them in chapter 12, which is called Devotional Service, Bhakti Yoga. He mentions this very clearly. In fact, there are 8 verses in which he talks about this. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quotes this in the Chaitanya Charitamrita when he teaches Sanatana Goswami. And these are 8 verses. I've just got hold of the Bhagavad Gita. So I'm just going to read now from the Bhagavad Gita the 8 verses. This is from chapter 12, text 13 to 18. And of course the verses are very nice and worth memorizing, but I'm not chanting the Sanskrit verses. I will just read the translation to give us an idea of what kind of qualities a Vaishnava naturally develops and how Krishna is pleased by them. So, quote, "One who is not envious, but is a kind friend to all living entities, who does not think himself a proprietor, and is free from false ego, who is equal in both happiness and distress, who is always satisfied, forgiving, and self-controlled, and who is engaged in devotional service with determination, his mind and intelligence dedicated to me, such a devotee of mine is very dear to me. He by whom no one is put into difficulty or anxiety, and who is not disturbed by anyone, who is liberated from jubilation, anger, fear, and anxiety, is very dear to me. A devotee who is not dependent on others, but is dependent solely on me, who is clean inwardly and outwardly, who is expert, indifferent to material things, without cares, and free from all pains, and who rejects all pious and impious activities, is very dear to me. One who is free of all material jubilation, hatred, lamentation, and desire, who renounces both materially auspicious and materially inauspicious things, and who is devoted to me, is very dear to me. One who is equal to friends and enemies, who is equipoised in honor and dishonor, heat and cold, happiness and distress, fame and infamy, who is always free from attachment to material things, and always grave and satisfied in all circumstances, who doesn't care for any residence, who is always fixed in devotional service, such a person is very dear to me. Devotees who follow these imperishable religious principles of Krishna consciousness with great faith and devotion, fully accepting me as a supreme goal, are very, very dear to me." Unquote. So we can see that in each of these verses, Krishna is emphasizing, after he lists out a certain number of qualities, that a person who has these qualities is very dear to him. And sometimes he says, very, very dear to me. So it is these Vaishnava qualities that appear or manifest in a person simply by virtue of Krishna consciousness. Is very, very pleasing to Krishna. Again, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching Sanatana Goswami again, there's a very important dialogue between Sanatana Goswami and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and also before this, Rupa Goswami and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Rupa Goswami are called Rupa Shiksha. And the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sanatana Goswami are called Sanatana Shiksha. So Sanatana Shiksha is much longer, over several chapters. And this is part of that teaching. And Kabiraj Goswami has mentioned this. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that there are 26 qualities that are found in a Vaishnava. Actually, this is not the sum total, it's just a few. A Vaishnava, Kaviraj Goswami says, is one who has developed all good transcendental qualities. All the good qualities of Krishna gradually developed in Krishna's devotee. So Kaviraj Goswami goes on to say that all these transcendental qualities are characteristics of pure Vaishnavas, and they cannot be fully explained. But he will try to point out some of the important qualities. So I'm sure you've all heard of the 26 qualities of a Vaishnava. But these 26 qualities are only the important qualities. They don't exhaust the list of all the qualities, good qualities of a Vaishnava. So I have the list here now in front of me. And I'll just read out one by one the word, Sanskrit word, and I'll explain what it means. So these 26 qualities will come automatically in a pure devotee. The first of these qualities is Kripalu. That means merciful. Second is Akrita Droha. That means he is not defiant, he is very humble. The third is Satya. Satya Sar, actually. He is always true, he is truthful. Then Sama, which means he is equal to all. Nidosha. Nidosha means he is faultless. Vadanya, which means he is magnanimous. Mridu means he is very mild. Shuchi means he is clean. Akinchana, that means he doesn't have any material possessions. Then there is Sarvopakara. Sarva means all, upakar means welfare work. So they perform welfare, the devotees, they perform welfare work for everyone. Which means the devotee is not concerned about his or her own upliftment only. The devotees are more concerned about how to perform real welfare work for everybody around them. The next one is Shanta, which means peaceful. And then is Krishnaika Sharana, which means surrender to Krishna. And I'll come to this point a little later. Then the next one is Akama, which means desireless. By desireless, we mean having no material desires. We cannot be completely desireless, as Prabhupada has explained many times, because we are living entities. As living entities, desire must be there. However, we can stop material desire and develop spiritual desire. Spiritual desire means the desire to serve Krishna and to please Him. So this is the meaning of the word akama, or desireless. Then the next is called Aniha. Aniha means indifferent to material possessions or acquisitions and so on. And next is Sthira. Sthira means one who is fixed. He is fixed in devotional service. Then the next quality is Vijita, Shad Guna. Vijita means one who is victorious or one who has controlled. Shad means six, and guna means qualities. So one who can completely conquer, or who has controlled the six bad qualities, lust, greed, anger, envy, pride, illusion, right? These are our enemies, six enemies. So a pure devotee automatically has conquered these. Then there is Mitapuk. He eats only as much as required. apramatta. That means there is no inebriation. He's not inebriated at any time. He's the next one is manada. Manada means one who is willing to give man or respect to others. Amani means one who doesn't desire any respect for himself or herself. Gambhir means one who's very grave. Karuna again means compassionate, similar to the first one, which is merciful. Then Maitra means a devotee is very friendly. Kavi is a poet. Daksha is expert. And Mauni means silent. Of course, the word silent here doesn't mean that the devotee doesn't speak. What it does mean, as Prabhupada explains many times, is that he doesn't speak material things. He doesn't get involved in material gossip and talks and so on. He talks only about Krishna or Krishna consciousness. So silence on the material platform, but on the spiritual platform, he could talk as much as is necessary for furthering the goals of Krishna consciousness. So these are 26 qualities that Kaviraj Goswami points out. And then he mentions the famous verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Titikshava Karunikaha Suhridaha Sarvadehinam Ajata Shatravaha Shantaha Sadhavaha Sadhupushanaha. He says, a devotee, this is from Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto. Sutta Goswami was glorifying the devotees of the Lord. So they talk, the sages were talking about the devotees. Titikshava means he's very tolerant. Karunika means very merciful. Suhrida Sarvadehina means who are always the well-wishers of all living beings. They don't discriminate. They give their well-wishes and their mercy to everybody. Ajata Shatravaha Shantaha. That means he is without enemies. Literally what this means is that one whose enemy has never been born. Ajata means unborn. Shatravaha means enemies. So he is Ajata Shatravaha. And Shantaha. Shanta means one who is peaceful. Sadhavaha. Sadhavaha indicates who follows the injunctions of the scriptures. And then the last phrase is Sadhu Bhushana, one who are decorated with good characters or characteristics. So again the word Bhushana comes here, the ornament. The devotee is one who is ornamented, so to speak, with all these good qualities. So the devotees become very, very attractive to Krishna because of these qualities. So the question is now that we've understood what the qualities of a pure devotee are which attract Krishna. So what about us in our current state of Krishna consciousness? How do we develop these qualities? We may be a great distance away from actually achieving that level where all these qualities will naturally develop in us. So what should one do? Well, the answer is that we simply should just keep following whatever Srila Prabhupada has given us. The program Prabhupada has given us is very simple and sublime. We chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the Japa. We chant minimum 16 rounds every day. We can chant more if possible. We congregationally come together as often as possible with devotees to chant the holy names. We hear the discourses about Krishna. We have discussions amongst devotees about Krishna consciousness. We speak about Krishna when we get the opportunity. We study Srila Prabhupada's books like the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and so on. We render different types of services in a humble mood, an eager mood. We participate in the preaching mission in various ways and contribute in whatever way we can, whatever kind of service that we are in a position to do, as much as we can. And we sincerely strive to make advancement in Krishna consciousness under the guidance of devotees. We read Prabhupada's books regularly and follow the process. And if we simply do that, then gradually success is assured. And we will be able to actually see these qualities developing naturally. So this is the secret. This is how we can continue to do. Yes, of course, we should also try externally. Sometimes the devotees ask this question, that if these qualities naturally come about as a result of doing devotional service, then should one also make an extra effort to develop these apart from doing Krishna consciousness? The answer is that yes, but the effort that we do to develop these qualities is also part of the whole process of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is not simply chanting our 16 rounds and following the four regulative principles and going for Mangalarati and so on. But apart from all these, Krishna consciousness also involves being very introspective. And when one sees that one is becoming, afflicted with material qualities, then one must check oneself and pluck out these weeds of material qualities or desires from the heart. So, for example, if one is placed in a situation where it is very easy to become angry, and because one's ego may have been pricked, and it is a very provocative situation, so it would be very, very tempting for us to become enraged because somebody has spoken ill about us or something like that. So here is an opportunity to test it, to test our humility. So we can, with the use of our spiritual intelligence, restrain our anger and calm ourselves down and make ourselves understand that as a devotee, I'm not supposed to be like this. I'm supposed to be humble and tolerant. So in this way, even as we chant Hare Krishna and hear and read and so on and serve, the purification is automatically taking place. But parallelly, part of the process also is that we are purifying the heart by use of our spiritual intelligence and by practicing these qualities. Not that we do it in a hypocritical way, but we do it in a sincere way. For example, we may not feel very humble, but at least we should act in a way that is humble. And by doing so, gradually the humility will come when it is along with the practice of Krishna consciousness. So also for all the other qualities, all these things will come. We all instinctively know that if somebody is very egoistic or proud, and we don't like to be with such a person, we have a natural discomfort in being in the company of a person who is like that. So, naturally, when somebody exhibits all these Vaishnava qualities, then it is such a pleasure to be with that person. So we can understand how Krishna and why Krishna is so pleased with the development of these Vaishnava qualities. So this is what we should strive for. This is what Krishna consciousness is all about. It is not simply about understanding the philosophy theoretically or intellectually. Of course, that is also very important, no doubt, because that strengthens our faith and purifies our heart. But still, one has to actually take the process forward and see that it is translated in terms of our attitudes and behavior and so on. Fundamentally, of all these 26 qualities, the one quality that is most important is called Krishna Eka Sharana. Krishnaika Sharana. When it is combined together, we pronounce it as Krishnaika Sharana. Eka means one, exclusive. and sharana means shelter. So Krishnaika Sharana means that a devotee is, Vaishnava is one who has taken exclusive shelter of Krishna. So because he or she has taken such shelter of Krishna, therefore all the other qualities develop. Haridas Thakur also says the same thing in Harinam Chintamani, that surrender to Krishna is the most important thing. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur one time, he spoke at length on this, and he explained how for one who is surrendered to Krishna, who has the quality of Krishnaika Sharana, all the other Vaishnava qualities will come in step by step. So we have come to Krishna consciousness after having traveled many, many lifetimes in this material world, billions and billions of lives perhaps, who knows. We don't know which planets we've been on, which species we've been in. So after a long journey through the material world, we have come, fortunately, by some stroke of good fortune, to the association of devotees, and we have been blessed with an opportunity to practice Krishna consciousness. So since we have not dropped in straight from Vaikuntha, we have come in after many, many lives in the material world, so naturally we carry some degree of the baggage from the previous lives and even from the past before we came to Krishna consciousness in this life. So to that degree, this baggage of karma will be a source of some trouble for us. It will interfere with our progress in Krishna consciousness. It will be like a drag resisting our advancement in Krishna consciousness. But if we do our Krishna conscious practices very seriously and sincerely in the proper way, then we will be able to overcome all these things. So we should not be surprised or disheartened to see within ourselves the qualities stubbornly remaining, material qualities stubbornly remaining despite some years of practice. It will take many, many years of practice to eradicate the material qualities and to allow the spiritual qualities to flourish. So we should not become disappointed. We should continue with enthusiasm, and we will understand that our sincerity and eagerness and good spiritual intelligence is what will actually help us. If we remain humble in the association of devotees and hear and chant regularly, then gradually in course of time all the good Vaishnava qualities will develop. And just as we can recognize these material qualities, remnants of them in our heart, so naturally there will be something in different degrees in other devotees' hearts too. So when we interact with other devotees in the community of devotees, we should be very careful, and we should take into our stride deficiencies that we may see in other devotees' behavior and characteristics and character and so on. And we should understand that just as I have these faults, maybe this devotee has this fault or that fault. But when we see the good faults we see the faults of others, we should try to minimize them. We should try to overlook them as far as possible, unless one is responsible for that devotee, one is in a position to, one is duty-bound to actually help that devotee. And if one is in a position to do so. So otherwise, one should basically not focus so much on the weaknesses or the faults of a devotee. One should focus on that devotee's good qualities and one's own bad qualities. In this way, one will develop the right attitude that is necessary for making spiritual advancement. So in this spirit, one will be able to live in the association of devotees very nicely, understanding and appreciating one's great fortune to be able to live or practice Krishna consciousness with devotees. So one should be careful about Vaishnava aparadha. One should live very happily and appreciate his good fortune. Then we will also become attractive in Krishna's eyes. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So thank you very much. If there is any question, I'll be happy to try to answer.
Thank you, Maharaj, very much for speaking, and I really apologize for the short notice and all the miscommunication today happened. So, devotees, I'll request devotees to ask questions and do not wait for Maharaj's acknowledgement. You can straight ask questions and Maharaj will answer, and immediately after the question, the next speaker, next devotee should be ready to ask the next question. Don't have any delays between questions. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
My question is that animals are also like called Vaishnavas, but they don't have all these qualities, but we must respect them also. So if you can explain that.
What was the first word you said in the question? Who are also Vaishnavas?
The animals.
Animals, okay.
Yes.
Well, animals as animals per se are not Vaishnavas, just like humans per se are not Vaishnavas until they become Vaishnavas, until they actually start serving Krishna. We don't consider even a human as a Vaishnava.
Okay.
Of course, constitutionally, every soul is a Vaishnava.
Right, that's right.
But that original Krishna consciousness is covered by the material nature. So human life presents a very wonderful opportunity to remove that covering and bring out one's original constitutional nature, which is hard for animals to do. They are not equipped with that intelligence to be able to consciously practice. However, if by some stroke of good fortune...
Hello?
Yes, Maharaj, please continue.
Hello?
Yes, so for an animal, if that animal is very fortunate to receive the mercy of pure devotees, then of course that animal can also become Krishna conscious. And there are numerous instances of this in history. But in general, the deliberate and conscious practice of Krishna consciousness is the prerogative of humans. And only those humans who actually associate with devotees and take to Krishna consciousness, therefore, are called Vaishnavas. All right?
Yes, Maharaj. Thank you so much, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Thank you so much for the wonderful class. My name is Dwayi Payandas. I'm speaking from Orlando, Florida. My question is, you mentioned in the class that no matter if you are humble, not feeling humble or feeling sincere, but just continue doing your seva and you'll come to the stage. But naturally our tendency is that we want to completely become good in whatever we want to do, then we want to move on. So that's my like a confusion, that how we should just continue doing whatever we are, at whatever stage we are, instead of worrying to try to be totally or fully correct in those things. Thank you, Maharaj.
Well, as I said, there are two things involved. One is just the regular practice of our sadhana and the rules and regulations. By doing that, automatically some progress is happening progressively. And secondly, part of the process also, as I mentioned, is that we introspect. When we see the weeds of bad desires or bad attitudes like pride and so on rearing their heads, then we should take some action. Then we should try it with our spiritual intelligence to subdue that and act in a way that is becoming of a Vaishnava. Yeah, so both these should go on simultaneously. Any other question?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This is a Pradyumna calling from Baltimore. Please accept my obeisance. Hare Krishna Maharaj. I have one question that Srila Prabhupada has given formula. They call books are basic, purity is the force, preaching is essence, and utility is the principle. Can you say something about explaining about utility is the principle? Because many times with consider some kind of adjustment. What is exactly utility is the principle? Please.
Yukta Vairagya. Yukta Vairagya means that we use things for Krishna's service, even though those things may appear to be material, but if they can be used for Krishna's service, then we use them.
Mm-hmm.
For example, electronic gadgets and equipment, we use them for Krishna's service. We use an aeroplane or a motor car. We use many, many things which in and of themselves may not be considered to be very spiritual things. But we use them for Krishna's service. Similarly with money. The utility factor is seen because we can use money, which is Lakshmi, in the service of Narayan or Krishna. So this is the principle of Yukta Vairagya. In Krishna consciousness, we don't negate things for their own sake. We negate something only if it is not possible to use it in Krishna's service. So this is the idea of utility as a principle. But we should also be careful that we don't misuse this principle, that in the name of serving Krishna, we should not get distracted from our Krishna consciousness and let our consciousness get polluted or attached to some material things. All right?
All right. It reminds me that Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu has one verse, that Krishna sabande nirbande. I don't remember exactly the verse, but Krishna sabande, you can utilize material things.
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Hari sambandhi vastu naha mamukshubhi parityago vairagyam palgu kathyate.
So
when you use things that can be used in Krishna's service and not reject them, then that is called yukta vairagya, perfect renunciation. Instead of using it for sense gratification, we use it for Krishna's service.
Yeah.
Is there any other question?
No. Thank you, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Aviram Sakhadas from Charlotte, North Carolina. Last year we had a chance to host you and serve you in Charlotte here. Maharaj, I have one question regarding the ahimsa or the killing of animals. When we are walking around or we are stepping outside, we are killing so many ants knowingly or unintentionally. When we do pesticide to our house, we are killing so many insects. So how do we balance between not killing and living in this material world, which are some of the necessities of this world?
As far as possible, at least consciously, we should avoid committing violence to any living entities. Unknowingly, if something happens, you're walking on the street and you don't realize it, and something, there's an ant below your feet or something, that's what we're doing. But at least consciously, first of all, we should avoid doing that. We should be careful about it. And unknowingly also, we will reduce it by leading a certain kind of lifestyle. If you're leading that kind of a sattvic lifestyle, you know, and are careful about these things, then automatically, even unknowingly, whatever killing or violence takes place by us for insects or germs and so on, that will also be reduced. Now, coming to other things like, for example, mosquitoes or cockroaches or rats and of creatures like that, well, first and foremost, we should, the first prior step should be to keep things so clean that few of these will be inclined to come. Rather, many will stay away, because these pests, they usually come in where things are dirty. So by keeping things very, very clean, we will reduce the incidence of such problems. However, still there will be some problems. We can't totally eliminate that, because the environment around us may be such. So in those cases, we can try to have means for physical blocking to keep them away rather than kill them, to have some arrangement where when they come nearby, they find a smell or whatever it is repulsive, and they fly away or run away from there. So that is the last, that is the next alternative. Many times in some of our temples in India, I suppose it may happen there in the West also, I don't know. Sometimes, especially if the temple is in a rural area, so you may find rats or coming into the altar. They come in from different places. It's very hard to control them. Even if you keep the altar very clean, still they somehow or the other come. So apart from the first two steps that I mentioned, what devotees generally do is they may have some rat traps by which they hold the rats. And then they go and release the rats, you know, at a great distance from the temple, somewhere in the forest or something like that. Or you, in some extreme cases, we used to do that sometimes in Vrindavan. Because the rats were so persistent, they were coming in from somewhere, we tried our best. We would have one or two devotees standing with sticks. Mm-hmm. Although generally when the Lord eats, no one should be present there. The Lord should be left to eat alone. But then we didn't want the rats to come onto the Lord's plates, so we would have one or two pujaris standing with sticks in case the rats came, and then they would be driven away. This, of course, is an extreme case, but that's the idea. Essentially, we should try to avoid killing as far as is possible, and only when there's absolutely no alternative, and it's an extreme situation, then we may think of something like that. And because devotees are surrendered to Krishna, then in these very, very rare and extreme cases, if something has to be done, then, if you're doing it for the sake of serving the deity or for Krishna in a genuine way, then Krishna will hopefully excuse that fault. But we should use this very, very sparingly and very carefully, not liberally at all. All right?
Yes, Maharaj. Thank you so much.
Any other question?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
This is Lavandamayi Radhika Devi Dasi. You said about the 26 qualities, Maharaj. So I wanted to know, if we are surrendered soul to Krishna, then the 26 qualities comes, or because we don't have that 26 qualities in us, not all of them. So if we are surrendered to Krishna, then only we have those qualities, or how do we get those qualities in us?
Yes, those 26 qualities will come, or the 25 will come when the 26th is there, that is Krishnaika Sharana. Well, in the list, of course, Krishnaika Sharana is not the 26th,
uh-huh.
That is number 12 in the list.
Okay.
But if this one quality is there, then naturally everything else will come, all the other 25 will come. So we should focus on surrendering to Krishna, which means surrendering to his pure devotees, like Prabhupada, and following the instructions. And if we follow the instructions with very, very sincerely and with determination, then automatically these qualities will come. It may take a shorter time or a longer time, depending on many factors, depending on one's intensity of Krishna consciousness, depending on one's own nature, one's karmic baggage that one has brought in from previous lives, and many, many things involved. But essentially, if we practice Krishna consciousness very strongly in deep surrender, then these qualities will come. Right?
Okay, Maharaj. Thank you so much.
Any other question?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. My question is, we see some of these qualities, those who are not even practitioner devotees. So then how to understand that even though they are not taken as a Krishna Eka Saranam, but then we see some of these qualities in other persons, those who are not practicing devotees.
Yes, that may happen. A few of these qualities may be there in some non-devotees as well. But I quoted that verse from the Bhagavatam where it says, Harava bhaktasya kuto mahatguna mano rathe nasati dhavato bhagi. That even if these qualities are somewhat found in a non-devotee, what is the use? Because he's traveling on the chariot of his mind. Meaning thereby that even if these qualities are there in a non-devotee, they will not last for long. Maximum maybe for this life, maybe a few lives, even if you stretch it, it may last for a few lives. Because these are qualities that have to do with the mode of goodness. But the mode of goodness doesn't exist in this world in isolation. It's always mixed with the modes of passion and ignorance. And if one is not leading a pure Krishna conscious life, then even if one is in the mode of goodness, one will not be able to maintain that mode of goodness for long. So for some time he or she may exhibit some of these qualities, but even in this life we will see that these qualities then will diminish and the contamination will start. And even if it's not in this life, at least in the next life it will start. But for a devotee, if surrender is there, then even though that devotee may have a baggage of many bad qualities from the past, and those bad qualities may come up every now and then and create a disturbance for that devotee and also for others. But because that one great quality is there, Krishna Eka Sharana, so eventually those bad qualities will get destroyed if that person persists with very sincere execution of Krishna conscious practices. And the good qualities, these other 25 qualities will also come in course of time. The non-devotees may have these other qualities to some degree, but they don't have Krishna Eka Sharana, which is the most important quality, surrender to Krishna. Okay?
Thank you, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj, Dandavat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. It was very nice to hear you, Maharaj, after a long time. Before, at Baltimore, along with Pradyumna Prabhu at their residence. So, this is Nitin from Baltimore.
Please go ahead, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, my question is that, how can we, make the devotional progress and be stick to that to make the continual improvement in the devotional life?
To follow Srila Prabhupada's instructions. Prabhupada has given us a program that is very easy to follow, and we should follow that. I mentioned in the course of the lecture some of these points that we should do. So we should just continue doing that, like our japa, kirtan, reading, hearing, serving, being humble, associating with devotees. These are all the things that we should do. Then automatically we will make advancement in our Krishna consciousness. Okay?
Okay, Prabhu. Thank you.
Okay, so thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Maharaj, for coming. Very grateful that you come today. So, on behalf of everybody, we would like to come every month. Like, come and enthuse all of us. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Vancha Kalpata.
Okay. Hindu Bhavacha Patitanam Pavani Bhyo Vishnavibhyo Namo.
His Holiness Bhakti Rasamrat Maharaj Ki
Jai.
Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Maharaj.
Thank you very much, Maharaj.
Thank you very much for your wonderful lecture, Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Maharaj. Hare Krishna.